good morning, and I want to say it is a joy and an honor and privilege to be able to stand one more time on the Lord's Day and be able to preach His Word and try to be an encouragement to you today. And thank you for tuning in this morning. Good to know that we have faithful church members that are always faithful to tune in to their home church. And we appreciate your faithfulness, Calvary, during this time. And looking forward to another good service this morning. And so we got a special here in just a moment that I've asked Brother David Barker if he could to sing for us. And so we're looking forward to that in just a moment. But we do want to say that on next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., we will be meeting back in person. And so I hope that you've already decided what you're going to do. And if you need to make it a matter of prayer, I know that sounds wild in a way to pray about going to church, but this is a specific time that we're going through, and we've already told you how we feel about that. You may want to postpone your coming back to Calvary for a little while down the road. You may be elderly, and your immune system may not be what it once was, and you may be susceptible for getting sick. So we definitely don't want that. But next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., you'll find the seating arrangements in the sanctuary. We'll have an overflow just in case down in our fellowship hall to view the service upon our TV. And also, of course, our hand sanitizing stations are in place. Feel free to wear your mask, your gloves, whatever it is you need to wear to have that peace of mind. And also, to our Calvary people, our nursery will be open. We have an infrared touchless thermometer that we just received and we purchased, the church did. And so if you're interested in child care for next Sunday morning, then you'll be scanned to see if you have a fever. Just try to take precautionary steps as we step our way back into church and try to find some kind of normalcy to meeting and worshiping. I do want to say no service next Sunday evening by way of Facebook Live in light of Father's Day. And so next Sunday morning will be our only service of that day. We'll again meeting in person at 11, but then no Facebook Live that night. Of course, we will continue Facebook Live for our Sunday morning services like you're viewing now. And just for those folks who can't be here, that is going to give a little more time, you can still view our services live. Sunday night, Wednesday night will also be Facebook Live. We will not meet in person for a little while longer just to make sure that our plan is working correctly and no one's getting sick. And so we appreciate your patience, appreciate your love and your support. Calvary, you have been there for us during this time. You have supported my family. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your patience and love. And we're all in this thing together concerning getting back into church. I do want to mention a couple things by way of prayer request before we pray. Let's remember Brother Jim Daly and Miss Dawn Daly. Brother Jim has had some highs and lows with his breathing and his oxygen levels. Brother Jim, we're praying for you. Been praying for you since I called you a couple weeks ago. I may not have had it on paper, but it's on paper this morning. And the church knows we're praying for you, Miss Dawn. Got some bittersweet news with a couple different folks this past week that Joe Vandiver has a sister-in-law named Charlotte. You remember, we've been praying for her for some time. And a while back, we got the good news that her cancer was in remission, or at least it was under control. In fact, I think it was gone. It showed that it was gone. Brother Joe called me the other day and said that it's back. And Unless God intervenes, she has 11 to 12 months to live. Let's pray for Miss Charlotte. This is Joe Vandiver's sister-in-law. Also, let's remember Miss Joanne Rich, Brother Eddie Rich. But let's remember Ashley, the daughter of Joanne, and her kids, Aiden, Bentley, and Eli. Let's remember this morning Bentley, and he's been dealing with his eyesight leaving him. He's had some kind of mass on that optic nerve. I talked to Miss Joanne, and she said that this may in some form, some fashion, be connected to some kind of allergy. Like Miss Joanne said, she'll take it. So we'll take that news, and whatever the course of action that will be, I'm not sure, but let's pray for Miss Joanne and Eddie, Ashley, and the kids and their physical ailments this morning. Also, Joanne Rich, her sister Dee, she was healed from her cancer. And we praise the Lord for that. I say this has been a bitter week, a bittersweet week, because you get calls, some have been healed and some haven't been healed. In fact, it's came back. And, you know, only the Lord knows exactly what's going on in their lives and what His plan is. But let's remember these in our prayers as we pray today. Again, if you would, just log on to www.calvaryministries.org and you'll find a copy of the bulletin there with all the updates, all the prayer requests in its entirety. And you help us pray for the church. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. And this is Sunday morning, and I hope you'll get a blessing. We have a special that Brother David's about to sing, talking about our Savior and His faithfulness. And then, the good Lord willing, we're going to bring the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in no other name but Jesus' name. We don't come in the name of politics. We don't come in the name of any kind of worldly endeavors or accomplishments, or in any person's name, but we come in Jesus' name into your throne room of grace this morning. The Bible says that there is grace to be found in your throne room to help in our time of need. God, this morning I'm calling out to you, as others have in the community as leaders. I'm calling out to you, and I'm asking for grace for your church, the body of Christ, this morning, that we may continue to live for you wholeheartedly and not allow society and politics to tempt us to compromise on our convictions. Lord, how things are leading that way, and how easy it would be, the more things lead that way with society and politics, to bend a little for the sake of worldly peace. But Lord, we know that true peace will never come unless people get saved. We know that ultimate lasting peace on this earth will never reign until Jesus comes. But Father, during this process and days ahead, I do pray for grace to stand firm on our convictions. And that is that Jesus saves. He was virgin born. He died a vicarious death. He was buried, and on the third day rose victoriously. And this morning we're looking for His visible return. We stand firm on those things. We're unmovable with those things. And if we should ever be asked and called upon to say how we feel about a subject, help us continue to stand firm. That's what the Bible says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man, the hope of Jesus that's in you. Help us, Lord, with grace. Father, this morning we pray for all of these needs. We pray for Joe Vandiver's sister, Charlotte, who's got the news that her cancer is back, Lord, that you would touch her. The Bible says in Isaiah that your hand is not shortened, that you cannot save, and your ear is not heavy, that you cannot hear. Touch her, Lord. Touch Miss Marianne Sandvi's sister, who also received a terminal report up north that her cancer won't go away. But Lord, you are the great physician. Touch these, Lord, with your hands. We're thankful for Joanne's sister that got healed. Father, we pray for all of these. We pray for Brother Jim Daly and Miss Dawn that you would touch him and allow him to come to health as far as breathing. And he expressed how he wants to teach and preach again. I know how he feels. Lord, I pray that you'd grant it. Father, we also pray for Brother Trail Norton and God, his sister had back surgery this week. We pray that you'd give her speedy recovery. So many requests come in. So many people stand in need of prayer. But God, ultimately, you know who needs what. This morning, we turn the sheep over to the great shepherd. And we ask, Lord, that you would continually be there for them. We love you. We thank you. We pray for peace in our land, in our world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fear filled their heart, and they thought they would die, but failed to remember that the Master was nigh, and he spoke the words, and the winds all stood still, even the waters obeyed his will, and he calmed their storm. Just like he will mine, if I just remember that he loves me deep inside. So why should I worry, and why should I fear, when the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible how he walked with them, brought light in their darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have his steps leading mine, and to walk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll call on my Master, he'll be there on time. And when sickness comes and my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. So why should I worry, and why should I fear, when the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, He stays always near, lives in my heart. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? Because my Jesus, He's always so near. He lives in my heart, and He hears me when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by.
Appreciate that, Brother David. What a blessing it is to know that Jesus is always near. He is always passing by. He is always on time. Jesus always was, is, and is to come. And what a sweet time of worship we've had so far this morning. I hope it's been real to you in your home as we've worshiped this morning. This time we're going to get into the message this morning, and if you have your Bibles, let's take our Bibles and go to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 16 this morning. John chapter number 16, and we want to read one verse this morning out of John chapter number 16 in verse number 33. John chapter number 16 in verse number 33. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." What a blessing this morning. I want to say, as we get going with our message this morning, that from Adam and Eve's day up to now, tribulation has been a part of our world. In fact, it started in the days of Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God. God said in the very beginning, after he created the world and all of its contents, plant life, animal life and all, God said that his creation was good. This morning, the world is not in tribulation because of what God did. But this morning, and from the days of Adam and Eve till now, this world has been in tribulation, has been in trouble, not because of what God did. He said it was good, but because of the people that live in the world. Trouble, trials, and tribulation. This verse this morning, notice again what he says. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Again, this world is not to current day. This world is not in the condition it's in because of something that God did in the creation process. But the reason why the world is in the shape it's in to current day is because of the people that live in it. This morning I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, finding peace in a troubled world. Finding peace in a troubled world. I'm not going to tell you something you've never heard before. Like one preacher said, if it's something new, it's probably not true. I'm just going to reiterate what we already know. But my prayer is that through this message that you might find peace in Jesus. If he's already your Savior, I'm pointing you back to him. I'm pointing me back to him. If you're not saved, if you're not sure where you'll go when you die, I'm pointing you to Jesus this morning. We have a big world problem. We have a lot of trouble in our world this morning. Socially, but also there may be some individuals who are experiencing trouble while they're living in this world. And this message is for you individually, as it is to everyone socially, that Jesus is the peace that you need, and Jesus is the peace that this world needs. Finding peace in a troubled world. I'd like to share with you a few things concerning this subject. Just out of this one verse this morning, and I hope it'll be a good refresher and point you in the right direction in this troubled world. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 33, we see a troubled world. He says, in fact, it's the middle portion of this verse. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Church, I want to say this morning that it is a guarantee that as long as we're on planet Earth, there will be trouble. In fact, notice the word tribulation here. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. The word tribulation means trouble, but it also means pressure. It means affliction. It means anguish. It's a word that carries a lot of different shades of the word tribulation. It also means burdened. It means persecution. It means trouble. I wonder this morning if anybody has any personal trouble in their life they've been experiencing. It may be with your family, it may be with your finances, it may even be in your health. You may have been experiencing some trouble. Now, this morning, I think it goes without saying that we all can confess that not only do we live in a troubled world, which surpasses individual trouble, but our whole world is filled with trouble. There's social trouble. But I believe I can say this morning, and we all have to confess that not only do we live in a troubled world, but it's a rapidly increasing troubled world. The trouble is increasing. We have the pandemic, We have politics and protesting. Troubled world. I turned on the news this morning, and boy, that was a mistake. I'm talking about my happy factor went down in a heartbeat. There was a Wendy's that was torched last night just outside of Atlanta. And there's people jumping around and parading around that. We're not getting into politics because the only thing that does is fuel the fire of anger. That's a battle that's never going to be solved outside of Jesus. Politics and protesting, all of these things are a dog chasing its tail. It's a revolving door. It'll never be settled outside of Jesus and his peace. You see, when people go to try to change and make statements, they're working on the outside and trying to make change from outside. But real change happens from the inside first, then outside. I want to say this morning that we have a troubled world. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, pressure, affliction, anguish, being burdened, persecuting. We all have to agree that the world in which we live in is not only troublesome, but it's rapidly getting troubled. Again, the pandemic, politics, protesting, and all kinds of other things, we see that our world is getting worse. I'm not like some of these who believe that Jesus is going to set up his kingdom now, right in the middle of all this. I don't believe that there's going to be an ushering in of total peace. I believe the rapture of the church has to take place first. And then the man of sin is revealed. And the stage, I do believe, is being set for that. Because we have a pandemic, we have politics, and we have protesting. And for a man to come on the scene and say, I have the answer for the pandemic, I have the answer for politics and protesting, that man will win that election, whoever that man is. But you see, the church of God will not be here. We are safe from the wrath to come. And then when the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, has taken us out of this world, out of this earth, and the restraining force of the Holy Spirit is not here, then the man of sin will be here. And for 3.5 years, he will make promise after promise after promise. And I want to say this morning that this troubled world will swallow that hook, line, and sinker. Because they want answers for this pandemic, politics, and protesting. We want answers too. But you see, the church of God knows where their answers lie. Our answers and hopes lies in Jesus. But the moment that this Antichrist, this man of sin, is revealed, he will make this false treaty, peace treaty. And 3.5 years into this false peace treaty, he will reveal himself ultimately. I believe the 3.5 plus 3.5 is the 7-year tribulation. And we know that the second half is that's known as the Great Tribulation. Most commentators believe that's when the wrath of God gets poured out upon man. But guess what, church? We can look up this morning. We can be encouraged this morning because we are safe from the wrath to come. I don't know how bad it will get before Jesus calls us out of here. I don't know how harsh this pandemic and how many lives that it will claim. I don't know about politics and this protesting. I don't know how bad all of that will get. But I do know this. It's going to get a little more worse before it gets a little more better. I want you to notice something. We're in John 16. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. Jesus likens his resurrection and return as a woman in childbearing. You see, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And so he's telling his disciples here that you're not going to see me for a little while. And then, of course, we know that after he rose from the grave, he showed himself. And so there was a momentary time where the disciples were fearful and afraid because their Lord was gone. I do believe we can also take these verses and liken it unto his visible return. Because you see, Jesus is gone now in bodily form. He's gone now. But he's gone to prepare us a place. And then one day he will come back and get us. But he's talking to the disciples, and this covers his resurrection. It also recovers his return. It covers his resurrection. It covers his return. And he likens this time frame in the middle as a woman in childbearing. Notice in verse number 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And so we know immediately in context of this chapter, he's talking about his giving of his life's blood on the cross and his burial. And during that time, he's going to be removed. And in the world, they will rejoice. And yet the disciples will lament, but their sorrow will be turned into joy whenever he shows himself to his disciples again. But at the same time, I believe it's talking about his visible return. Look at verse number 21. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I believe he's talking about two things, and two things can definitely be likened unto this verse. He's talking about his resurrection when there's a temporary separation. He's talking about his return when there's a temporary separation between the church and the Lord. And listen, this is a time of sorrow. And this is a time when the world is rejoicing in their own sin, in their own endeavors, in their own rules and regulations, really. I heard the other day up in Seattle, after the protesting and looting and rioting got so bad, that all the people in Seattle, Washington, said that they will surrender if Seattle abolishes all their laws. Are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me? That the government would abolish all the laws and it would just be a run-free zone for looting and rioting and all of those things. Listen, this is a troubled world this morning, and it's getting increasingly troubled. It's getting increasingly painful. We can all feel the pressure. And so Jesus is saying that there's this temporary separation here. He says, and I want to liken it unto a woman who's pregnant. Those of you that, women that is, who've had children, know that there are three trimesters in a pregnancy. There's the first 3 months, then the next three, then the last three, 9 months. But then when you get right down to the delivery of your child, they have what they call contractions. I can remember very, very vividly the morning that Lily was born, and how that when we got to the hospital, she was halfway to delivery point. I was trying to read my little book and find out what to do and what to expect while expecting. And man, I flipped through the pages. I called nurses. I just said, let's go. We got there. She was halfway to be delivered. Lily was. But then Saturday rolled into Sunday, and we were there on Sunday. And I can remember Christy gripping the post or gripping the rails of the hospital bed. I said, what's wrong? She says, it's just this intense pain. And the doctor said, Mr. Hales, it's called contractions. And I remember looking up on the little TV there, and it was these pain waves that would climb. And as they climbed, she would grip the post of the bed, and then they would decrease, and she would feel better. You see, these contractions got worse. These contractions got heavy. These contractions got painful until Lily was born. And guess what? When she was born, all the pain was over. When she was born, there was so much joy in our hearts in that hospital room. We didn't even think, at least Dad didn't even think about her painful contractions. And what I want to say this morning is simply this. Jesus is coming back. But until that time, we are experiencing spiritual contractions in our world. When you hear about a pandemic, that's the baby getting ready to be delivered. When you hear about politics and the lengths they would go and all of that, it's another contraction. And now we're getting into protesting and rioting, even in Hiram yesterday. There were those all around. And listen, I'm not saying that I agree with that cop. Listen, that cop needs to have his punishment. It was not right. And protesting is not against the law. But when it turns into riots and when people's hearts start to be filled with fear and it extinguishes their faith, I want to say that's a heavy contraction. And what we have in our world today, we're having spiritual contractions and they're getting not less, but they're seemingly since March, they're growing and they're getting heavier and heavier. And then one day, Jesus will come for us. He will snatch us away, the Bible says. And we will meet him in the air. And there will be the biggest homecoming ever. But until that point, church, listen. This will be a troubled world. And it will be a rapidly growing troubled world. I'm not trying to be a preacher of doom this morning. But I want to simply say that I'm not worth my salt if I don't stand up here and say that Jesus is getting ready to come. I'm not worth my preaching if I don't stand up here and say, Church of God, we need to purify ourselves by the grace of God, because when he comes, we need to be pure in a practical sense. Listen, Jesus is coming. This world is being prepared to be torched and burnt so that the new heaven and new earth can be ushered in. As I woke up this morning, I flipped on the TV. And I wouldn't be telling you the truth if I told you otherwise, that my heart didn't sink a little with all the stuff going on in our world. It just seems to me like it is a stage being set for someone that's false to come on scene and say, I have all the answers. Now, my prayer this morning, and I prayed this morning for my study, I said, oh God, I want you to heal this pandemic. Lord, I want you to, God, the politics, it's not getting any better. And it's, Lord, be in the midst of that. Keep the right person in the White House. Keep the right person over Georgia. Keep the right people, Lord, in position. And then with this protesting and all of the violence that's surrounding that, my heart was sinking. And I hope that it gets better. And I hope there's a resolve for the protesting. I hope there's a resolve for the politics. And I hope there's a resolve for the pandemic. But that the truth be known this morning, our hope is not in those things getting better. Our hope is in the Word of God this morning. And Jesus says, in a little while, I will come unto you. He says in verse 16, in a little while. He says it twice. In verse 17, there's the term, a little while. Verse 18, a little while. Verse 19, a little while is used twice. Lord, how long is a little while? Well, it was about 3 days during this time where he rose from the grave. That's the shortest form of little while when it comes to God I know of. But for 2,000 years, it's been a little while. For 2,000 years, since Adam's sin till current day, it has been a little while according to time frame in heaven. And I want to say, in a little while, not long, if the world keeps going in the way it's going, it has to be time for baby delivery. I believe every child of God is going to be ready. I believe we're going to be so sick and tired of all of this politics and protesting and pandemic. I love those three P's because that's exactly what's going on. We're going to be so tired of working on a resolve. We're going to be so tired of fighting this battle that our hearts are going to be ready to go be with Jesus. And at that particular time, the trumpet will sound and he will call us out of this world. I want to say that this morning, when it comes to John 16:33, we see a troubled world. He says, in the world ye shall have trouble. And we're not even mentioning people in their individual lives and their personal troubles this morning. We're talking about a global trouble. We're talking about a problem that only King Jesus can solve. My prayer this morning is, as I prayed this morning in my office, Lord, I pray that you would heal these things. God, I pray that things can go back a little to the way they were, but better. We're much more wiser now, more learned now, because there's souls that need to get saved. There's children that still need to be raised in the ways of the Lord. But if they're saved, it doesn't really matter, does it? Because we'll all be going up. And the rest of it will matter no more. There's a second thing I want to make mention of when it comes to finding peace in a troubled world. We see the reality of a troubled world. And it's rapidly getting more troubled. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But I want you to notice a second thing. Not only a troubled world in this verse, but we see a trusted word in this verse. Notice what he says. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Jesus is saying you can trust my words in a troubled world. These things have I spoken unto you. You see, Jesus spent his ministry 3 years. He was speaking his words to his disciples. He was speaking his words, his living, lively words to the community that surrounded him. Some embraced his word and some did not embrace his word. I want to say that the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples and the community while he was here, they were comforting words. He spoke that how that he loved the world, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And so he spoke comforting words, Jesus did while he was here, that he died for the world. He said that he loved them. He said he had a purpose for those who would embrace his salvation. They were the words Jesus spoke while he was here. They were guiding words. In John 16, our same chapter, in verse number 13, the Bible says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. The very life of Jesus was a life of speaking things. He spoke comforting words, and he spoke guiding words. He spoke about how he wanted to guide the disciples and how he was while he was here. But the day was going to come when he would be gone, and the Comforter would come, and that he would guide them. And these are comforting words. These are guiding words that he spoke during his 3-year ministry. Keep in mind, we're talking about where the verse says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. And so Jesus spoke comforting words. He spoke guiding words. But then he spoke explaining words. He talked about the past. He talked about the present. And he talked about the future. They were challenging words. In Luke chapter number 9, in verse number 23, he says, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Jesus spoke challenging words while he was here. Jesus also spoke convicting words while he was here. With the Sermon on the Mount and everything that goes with that, he talked about maintaining right relationships. He talked about attitudes, and he talked about loving your neighbor. He talked about forgiveness, and he talked about trust. These would be convicting words as we try to live our life. But he spoke those words to the disciples. And then he had promising words. that he, the comforter, would be with them. One day he would come for them. The comforter would, after Jesus would leave and ascend back into heaven, the comforter would be with them and would comfort them until the day that he would come back for them. You see, Jesus is saying in the troubled world, I have trusted words. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. He spoke comforting words and guiding words, explaining words, challenging words, convicting words, promising words. And Jesus is saying, in this world, you're not going to have peace. But in me, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. How are we going to have peace in Jesus? Because he has comforting words. How are we going to have peace in Jesus? Because he has guiding words. He knows how to guide his flock through a pandemic, through times of protesting, through this rush of politics and all that nonsense. He has guiding words. He has explaining words. We have a Father this morning. During this troubled world and the times we're experiencing, he will explain through the scriptures what we're going through, but what we have to look forward to as well. Challenging words, convicting words, promising words. And so Jesus says, in a troubled world, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. So he says, you can trust my words that I've spoken to you. Embrace them and discover peace. Notice what Philippians 4 says, one of my favorite verses, a couple verses actually. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why is that? How can we go to him in prayer? And how can we cast on him our every care? And how can we walk away with an unexplainable peace within us? I'll tell you how. It's because we have full access to the throne room of grace. And not only the child of God positionally is standing in grace, we have peace with God, but positionally we have access to grace. Whenever you and I come to God and we're bewildered and we're fatigued and we're troubled by this troubled world and we turn on the news and we want to hang our heads and we want to hang our harps in the willow, so to speak, we can go to Jesus and we can confide in him. And he will give us comforting words, guiding words, explaining words, challenging words, maybe even convicting words and promising words. And listen, this morning when we go to him, realizing he's the Almighty God, he has the answer for life, he's in control of everything. And when we get into the throne room of grace and say, God, I'm bankrupt. I know I'm saved, but I'm troubled on every side. I'm stretched to the max. Lord, I need understanding, as James says, let every man ask of wisdom who has no wisdom. And the Bible says that Jesus will give it to him. You see, we can go to this throne room of grace and obtain grace. We can survive in the middle of a troubled world because of the things that Jesus has spoken unto us. Again, he says back in our verses, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Jesus spent his whole ministry talking to his disciples. He spent his whole ministry preaching the word to the community. He performed miracles. And now he's getting ready to be betrayed and go to the cross. And he says, men, listen, I'm not going to be with you. I'm going to be gone for a little while. Men, listen, you've walked with me and you've talked with me and you've told me your troubles and problems and I've given you peace. I've taught you how to overcome. There's going to be an absence for a little while. And he says that, but I want you to bank on my word. I want you to trust my word. The days that I explained to you what would happen to me in the crucifixion, the days where I told you that I died for the whole world and that I love you and have a purpose for you. Jesus is saying, my words are trusted words. Even in the middle of a troubled world, he was telling his disciples, it's going to get worse as a woman in childbearing. And he says, during this time, trust my words. Keep the course. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Church, this morning, we can have the peace of God. We can have the peace of God. There can be joy in the midst of sorrow. There can be momentary times of happiness while in this world. And I know it don't depend on happenings, but God allows us to experience green pastures. He allows us to experience still waters. God still has a word for the weary this morning. And no matter how bad things get out here, when we open up his book right here, he has promises for his church. He has directions for his people. He has comforting words, and he has guiding words. I want to say this morning that there's a trusted word here. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Notice he says, in me you might have peace. We've already said it and labored on it, but we'll say it again, that this world doesn't offer real peace. There's no real peace with the pandemic. There may come a solution eventually, and I pray and I hope, and even so, I hope it's when I go home and check the news again, if I do, which I probably won't, but if I do, I hope there's a solution there. But there's no peace with the pandemic. There's no peace in politics, and there's no peace in protesting. There's no peace in that in this world. In this world, you shall have tribulation. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. There's no peace in drugs. There's no real peace in alcohol. There's no real peace in all of those things. There's momentary times of separation from what's troubling you from reality. But it's all going to come back. And while I hope for the best and pray for the best for America, and I hope for the best and pray for the best for individuals who have confided in me lately of not having peace, I want to say that in spite of all of those things, we can have real peace in him. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, not the world, you might have peace. Let me mention one more. We see a troubled world. In the world you shall have tribulation. We see a trusted word. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. But then lastly, we see a triumphant warrior. Notice that last term, that last phrase. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so Jesus is literally telling us that we are going to experience trouble and rapidly grow in trouble until he comes back. But he says, practically, on a day-to-day basis, we can trust his word and experience his peace. But then when we stand back and take a look at the grand scheme of things, he has already conquered and overcame everything this world has, will, future tense, experience. He's overcame it all. The word overcome here, it means to carry off the victory. It means to subdue. It means victorious over all foes. I want to say this morning, church, that we have a triumphant warrior. He has overcome the world. Jesus is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Jesus is victorious over racism. Jesus is victorious over politics. Jesus is victorious over disease that comes with this pandemic and epidemics. Jesus is triumphant over hatred. Jesus is triumphant over pride. Jesus is triumphant over nature. Jesus has overcome anything that we'll ever experience. He's overcome it by his sacrifice on the cross. Jesus has overcome the world. He dealt with every sin. He dealt with every pain. He dealt with every burden. He knows what it's like to experience racism. I mean, listen, they struck his face, they pluck his beard. That's racist. He said he was the Son of God, and they didn't accept that. And so their group protested against him and made him carry his cross up Golgotha's hill. And then he died upon the cross and was risen again. But Jesus experienced racism. He experienced politics during his day. He experienced the spread of disease and hatred. For he touched lepers and he healed. And he called Lazarus from the tomb. Listen, Jesus conquered all. My word to you this morning is simply this. Finding peace in a troubled world comes from Jesus. It's the same message that's been repeated over and over and over down through the ages of time. And I want to say that it stands this morning. It stands this morning. It is the solvent for the world's problems. Jesus saves. Jesus transforms lives. I feel like that all of these, not saying that there's not some good reasons to be involved socially with some of these events, but I feel like they're in the wrong battle this morning. I feel like that it's a dog chasing its tail scenario. Real change doesn't come on the outside in. Real change comes from the inside out. That's why if people would slow down a minute and open the Bible, listen to some teaching, that they would, for Christ's sake, just look up and say, "Help God." They will experience a change in their heart, and our communities would experience it. But you see, our world is trying to solve its own problems through these avenues that I mentioned unto you. They still believe that in them, in their endeavors in this world, they'll have peace. They don't need Jesus. They don't need a crutch. They don't need him. But what they're failing to realize is what some are fighting today, standing on corners in labs trying to fight a bacteria, or even trying to get on this politicking circuit to get their name out there, what they don't realize, all of that's been overcome. All of it. There's only one leader, and that's Jesus. He's the cure for every disease. He's the cure for sin. He's the one that can unify racial diversity. He has overcome what some people are going to be fighting today. And I want to say, if that's you, you're missing the mark. Because the Bible says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Take courage. I have overcome the world. I wonder if there's anybody in a personal level who's been trying to overcome some things in their life. You're trying to do something that's already been done. All you have to do is surrender to Jesus. An addiction, a relationship, whatever the problem is, you're trying to fight it yourself and overcome yourself. I want to say this morning, it's already been overcome. All you have to do is yield to Christ and allow him to invade your life. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise you. We are thankful that to this giant problem, there's a simple solution with one name, Jesus. We love you, Lord. I pray that you'll minister during the time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. This will be our last Sunday morning virtual invitation. If you need to come, your house, you pray, do it now.